This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Laura Pryor Palmer, and her book is Rough Magic, Riding the World's Loneliest Horse Race. Laura, who runs this? I mean, is there an organization? Is it Mongolian? Is it expats? What's behind this, the Mongolian Derby?
Yeah, the race is a little complex and interesting to me, especially now I've gained insight about travel by white Westerners, because it was thought up by a British man, this race. He found out that the postal system, the Pony Express style system, was from the Mongol Empire, was still in place in some form up until the 1960s. And in the 2000s, he managed to speak to one of these old postal riders and who gave him ideas for setting up this race. So with the help of a lot of Mongolians, including someone called Shatra, who lives between Hawaii and Ulaanbaatar, and Unanbur and Udenbayat, I think I've just mispronounced his surname, but he's the wonderful head horseman who helps choose all the thousands of horses that get used in the race. They created the first Mongol Derby, but it is run by a British company who do other less sporting adventures beyond it. And I think their aim is to make profit on it, although I don't think they do.
Yeah.
That's a wild guess.
Well, it's sort of the ultimate horse race, as you describe. Okay, so now you've experienced the Mongol Derby. What if you wanted to go back to Mongolia as just a traveler or a tourist? What do you wish you could actually experience without the pressure of the actual race?
Oh, that's a beautiful question. I've been thinking about that a lot lately. I want to learn Mongolian better before I go back. I'd like to thank some of the people who let me ride their horses. Thank again those horses, even though I could never find them again, probably. Mm-hmm. I'd like to just sit. I'd like to experience Mongolian Buddhism a bit, take part in some of the shamanic ceremonies to heal people that take place there and indeed in the UK, everywhere in the world. Yes, I just like to be still in Mongolia, right? Because I was on the move in Mongolia,
still,
always moving. Yeah.
Because you know what I'm struck by is there are so many creative ways that you can just embrace the world, get out of your comfort zone, wallop your ethnocentricity, and you don't need to just take the same cruise that everybody else is taking. I mean, there are options, and 30 people a year take this option, and a 19-year-old girl from Somerset in England did it, and I think it's fair to say it changed your life.
I think writing about it changed was the more changing platform. The race itself was so short, it was 7 days long. It did give me a burst of energy for a few months afterwards. I had a sort of like, oh, wow, it's okay for me to exist in this world. I'm not as hopeless as everyone keeps telling me and I keep telling myself. So that sort of was a brief jump. But I'm not sure it would have sustainably changed me. I think learning to write and self-reflect and question was the deeper journey.
So this book, the actual act of writing this book was kind of an extension of the experience.
Absolutely, yeah. And just relive that experience. I had such a perfect memory from it, something about having been so tired and raw. I could remember every moment, every smell, every corner of every valley. I was so shocked that my memory was on such good form. I thought, it's not going to last. I'm going to lose it all. I better write it down before it goes.
Did you set out to write a book?
No. I did not even think of myself as a writer. I guess as an 18, 19-year-old, thinking of writing a book is unusual, but I do think more 18-year-olds can write books. 12-year-olds can write books.
Did you actually write along the way? I mean, how did you have these descriptions in the book are so vivid and intimate?
Yeah, I did write a little bit, but not much of it that's in the book. So I had this Winnie the Pooh diary, like this small disused notebook I'd found in the playroom at home. Had a few shopping lists of my mother's in it. And I wrote two sentences on the first day and one sentence the next day and a half phrase the next evening. And then I got too tired. And I also didn't pack waterproof stuff. So some of the words got soaked into each other and they're kind of illegible now. But I did use the document as far as I could when I was writing the book.
Well, probably like the atmosphere in the middle of the steps. It was crisp and open.
Yeah.
And you got home and the memories were still crisp and open.
Ah, perfect parallel. Thank you.
I've experienced the same thing, depending on where you are. If you're wading through a muddle, it's different. But if you're there under a big sky, sometimes those memories stay with you. And that's one of the enduring beauties of reaching for the limits in your travels.
Wow.